Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here, and we are back with our Survivor exit interview. We'll be talking with the person who was voted out from last night's episode. That is Elaine Stott. We're going to have her on the line to talk with us. Of course, no exit press with the player that was removed from the game. No official word from him whatsoever, and I am not anticipating any sort of statement coming from him or his camp anytime soon. But this exit interview is going to be all with Elaine. Going to talk with Elaine, and then what I'm going to do is that, you know, just getting a lot of feedback about the episode, specifically the end of the episode and Dan's removal from the game. I've got a couple of questions relating to that that I want to play for you, a couple of voicemails that we'll do at the end of this podcast if you want to stick around for that. In addition to the know-it-alls last night with Steven, where we tried to process a little bit of this and talk about what happened in the first 40 minutes or so of the episode, we have that up for you on robinswebsite.com. And then I'm going to be speaking with Christian Hubicki. Always love to get to catch up with Christian about everything that's going on, that he had some time set aside for us. So we're going to talk with Christian. And then this weekend, I am going to catch up as well with Dominic Abate. I'm headed back to Long Island for a family wedding. Going to squeeze that in here on the weekend as we are trying to also get all these podcasts in. So I've got a wedding coming up on Friday night in Long Island. So I'm going to get back home for that. And then while I'm on Long Island, I'm going to catch up with Dominic Abate. But first, we've got our exit interview on the line. It's Elaine Stott. Let's go ahead and patch her in. Elaine, good morning.
Hey, what's going on, bro?
Good morning. How are you doing? You had a very heartfelt send-off from the game, it seemed like, from everybody that was out there.
Yeah, I did. And I got hugs all around when I got my torch snuffed, and yeah, it was super emotional. I'm doing good though. I'm a little hungover. I party rocked. I was up till 7 this morning.
Yeah.
And so I apologize for the little lag in my my mind, you know what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying, Elaine, but yeah, you had a really great story out there on the island. How have you dealt with, I have to imagine that you have gotten a lot of notoriety from this. I feel like that people must recognize you wherever you go now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, going to Kroger's a bitch now, you know, especially in a small town. It's like, man, I'm never going to get this 15-minute shopping trip over 2 hours later, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's been super cool, though, you know? It's been really cool.
Yeah. All right, well, let me ask you about where you were at in the game last night. So it seemed like that you had at least a shot to be able to pull something off. Did you feel any confidence whatsoever that you were going to have Lauren and Janet vote your way at that tribal council?
Listen, man, I throwed everything at them but the kitchen sink. That tribal was like 3 hours long, and I put up a good fight, but ultimately, like, I just knew that they were just dead set on me going home, and it didn't matter. And when Jeff started in with all the personal stuff, and man, I just let that shit roll off my tongue like I did. I knew it was lights out for me. I just knew it. I even in the tribal, I flipped my hat around because I thought, man, I'm gonna go out with it straight. You know what I mean? Like, so I knew it was coming, bro. Like, how could you not vote me out? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, at least you know they gave us they gave us the argument that maybe that, you know, it seemed like that what you were saying to Lauren might have sunk in a little bit about potentially taking out Nora. Did you feel like that? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it did some. It did some.
Yeah,
but not enough.
Yeah,
because listen, Lauren's super emotional. You know what I mean? Like she wears her heart on her sleeve, and she literally, they didn't show it, but in that tribal, she was actually looking at Tommy saying, see, do you feel good about this? Is this what, you know what I mean? Like she, part of her didn't want to vote me, but because Tommy wouldn't do it, like she, you know, it was, it is what it is, man. Like the shoulda, coulda, wouldas, I could do them all day, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
It's, yeah.
It did seem like that, that Lauren potentially would have done it. I thought that it was Janet that was the holdup. You feel like that it was Tommy who ended up saying no?
Well, see, Tommy's both their number ones in their minds.
Mm-hmm.
So if Big Red Kingpin, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If Big Red Kingpin looks down and says no, then the Don has spoken, you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. it's lights out for little old Lane, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So no, it was both of them. With Janet, like I tried to appeal to Janet because me and Janet is very similar. And, you know, I told her yesterday on the phone, I was like, yo, Janet, you're me in 20 years. Like, we're so much alike, you know what I'm saying? And so I tried to plead to her, like, I was like, Me and Janet was super good at fire. So it was like, Janet, they're never going to let you get there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? At least with me, I will roll with you. Like, I, you know, mm-hmm. it's just, it wasn't enough, man. It just wasn't. I was too big of a threat to win the whole damn thing. And mm-hmm. I get it, you know?
Yeah. When you started talking about your life and, you know, all of the adversity that you faced, was there any strategic part of that? Or it just once that, you know, Jeff starts asking you questions, that stuff all just starts coming out?
Yeah, well, if you notice, every time I went to tribal, any other time other than the very first one, I was like, I don't know what you're talking about, Jeff. Mm-hmm. I got no clue what's going down, even though I voted right the entire game. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I never wanted to give too much because I was always already too likable. And I thought, man, if these people think I'm smart, this is not going to go over well. If they think I'm compelling or whatever, then yeah, I tried not to do that.
Yeah.
But because I kind of knew that it was set in stone, I just spoke my truth in the moment, man. And Jeff's good at that, bro. You know, he got me emotional. And once he got me emotional, it was a fucking wrap.
yeah. Oh, Elaine, you had a weird ride in this season because that on the first episode, first couple of days, Ronnie looks at you and says, hey, Elaine's going to win the game, everybody. And we got to vote. We got to vote her out right away. And you said, well, hey, can you do it later? Do you have to do it right now? what was that like?
Put
you know,
a pin in it. Put a pin in it.
I don't think that you anticipated coming into the game and being pegged day one as this is going to be the threat to win the game, right?
No, I had. See, my godmother told me, she's like, she calls me Lainey. She said, Lainey, if you can keep your mouth shut, you'll be fine. But if you don't, you're going home first, you know? So when I went into it, I thought, because I'm busted can of biscuits, I thought, dude, they're going to look at me and think that I'm a liability and this, and this. I thought it was going to be that sense, you know, that old lady, big chunky monkey, let's get her big behind out of here, you know, like stuff like that. But man, I had no idea that they were going to be like, oh my God, Lane's fantastic. She needs to go home. And I was blown back by that. And I was like, man, it's day one. And they're like, you can win. And I was like, but it's day one. Like, what are you talking about? You
know? Yeah.
Yeah, that blew me away. It floored me, bro. It was crazy. And I can never shake that.
Yeah.
I couldn't shake that after that. You know what I mean? I just couldn't. I tried, but I couldn't. So.
Elaine, I want to go back to the last tribal council because it felt like that you guys had a real solid plan that came together following the family visit. And then Dean starts whispering to Tommy and then Nora ends up spilling the can of beans about your idol and everything. Going into that tribal council, though, were you confident that was going to work to vote out Tommy?
No, I was nervous as hell, man. And I had told Dean like on several occasions, like I would whisper to that person. I'm nervous. You know what I mean? Like I was sketched. And I think because I was sketched plus the conversations that Dean had with Nora and then him just reevaluating things. And because Nora is Nora, like it just made him even more like wishy-washy about the whole damn thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I was hoping that it was going through. Cause honestly, I thought if you can't see Tommy as like the number one threat here, then damn, y'all are a bunch of fools because I seen it early on, you know what I mean? And I seen how connected he was with everybody and how nobody ever brought his name up and this, and this. And I think other than, you know, when Missy and him were on the block, that was the first time that anybody had even said his name. And then, you know, nobody else brought him up again. And I was the one that was like, yo, we need Tommy to get out of here. So it was surprising that nobody else felt like he needed to go, but it was because he was so connected to all of them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Your relationship with Dean seemed like it was an interesting one, that he ends up spilling this plan to Tommy, but then also in the start of this past episode, you're out with Dean looking for idols together. You guys are the only two people from the original Lyro that were left. Were you working with Dean?
Well, I mean, who can really work with Dean? Like, Dean says, like, two words all week long. You know what I mean? Like, I call him Mr. Drop the Mic, because he'll sit there for 45 minutes while we all have a big conversation or cutting up or whatever. And then he just says one-liner, and he walks down to the fucking beach. I was like, dude, Mr. Drop the Mic. So, no, I tried. You know, like, when we come back after the swap, I tried to tell him. I was like, man, you know, I saved your ass, bro. Like, I didn't want you to go home. They come at you heavy, and I saved you. I wanted to save Chelsea, but I didn't want to push so hard, because I had pushed so hard to keep Dean, because I thought getting rid of either one of them was just absolutely crazy. I thought Charisma was the one that needed to go in that moment, but I wasn't in the minority on that, you know, with Missy and Aaron, and so I didn't want to push too hard to keep Chelsea after I'd just done it with Dean, because then Missy's crazy ass, she would have came at me, you know. So I wanted to, I told him that, I was like, yo, I saved you, bro, like, you know, you're super cool with me, like, we're down, and but he, because he was on original Lyro and he seen the big threat thing and this, and this, I don't think he was ever buying it. I was always pushing, yo, it's me and you. I'll never do you dirty, dude. It's me and you. But like everybody else, bro, he was on the, yeah, nobody's going to take Elaine thing. So I did what I could do, man. You know, I try to work it. Hey, listen, when I would, me and Nora would cuddle at night, because she was my bunkmate, and I would literally be like, I'd be cuddling with her and be like, Nora, you need to make a move. You haven't done anything. Like, don't you think? And she'd be like, oh, that's very interesting. That you're right. We need to talk. You know what I mean? So I had been doing that for days up until that moment where she had her break and fed up with people's BS and her aha moment, you know?
Yeah.
And so in that moment, I was like, Nora, you're their bitch. But I had been telling her that while we were sleeping. So, you know what I mean? So I was hoping, and it did. Like, I think Nora would have stuck to that plan through and through if it hadn't been for Dean.
Yeah, I agree.
Dean, and I just want to put something out there. Do you know that if you go back and watch seasons of Survivor, that the majority of the people that sit in the back are always men? The women are typically always in the front. And this is a disadvantage, because
at tribal
when you
council.
Sit in the back, which, yeah, at tribal, when you sit in the back, you have full view of everybody and everything. Now, if you flipped it and you put me in the back and put Tommy and Dean in the front, do you think Dean does that whispering still? Maybe not.
Yeah, that's a great point.
So I think that the fact that little old Busty Can of Biscuits had to sit in the front row all the time kind of hurt me, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I didn't get to do, or see, you know what I mean? So I think in the future, Jeff Probst, Mr. Jeff, you need to let some of the ladies, other than just one or two here, put them fellas in the front. Change that height of them stools and put little bit old.
They could figure it out.
You know what I mean? Like, switch it up.
Yeah.
Switch it up, bro, because that hurt me. When Dean started doing that whispering, that was murder right there, you know. But maybe he wouldn't have done that if he was sitting in the front. He would have been too, you know, nervous to say anything with my eyes in his back, you know. So who knows?
Yeah. Elaine, I want to go back to the tribal council where you voted out Missy. And I thought you did a really great job of getting Charisma over to your side. And I thought that was really great work. But I wonder if you might wish that you could have that vote back, and instead of voting out Missy, vote out Tommy in that spot. That, did you feel like that was still a good move for your game to vote out Missy?
Oh, hell yeah. Listen, let me tell you something. Missy was cutting my throat the first chance she got. As soon as she found one or two, you know, to take my place, I was out. And I knew it from the very beginning. So whenever that came up and I had the chance to either go Missy or Tommy, for me, the right move, 100%, was getting out Missy. Now, for Charisma, I don't agree with it. I don't think that was the best move for her, because Missy was never getting rid of her.
Yeah.
The thing it helped me with Tommy. You know what I'm saying? Like, it helped me move forward. If I had voted Tommy out and we came back to Volcai Beach and Lauren seen that, Missy would have used that fuel that she would have had, that rage she would have had for me voting out Tommy. She would have used it against me and cut me quick, because Lauren would have took my spot. Because Lauren, that was Lauren's right hand.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I still think that was the right move for me, because I would have been out either next or the one after. Mm-hmm. And at least by getting Tommy out, I gave me another window of possibility. It didn't work out, but it still gave me the chance. Whereas if I had stuck with Missy, I was dead man walking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's just my opinion. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that makes sense. It makes sense. Good to hear it explained that way. Elaine, who is your final three? Did you have one after the merge?
No. Now, listen, I was really close with Tommy and Lauren, and I always told him, I said, dude, I'll set with both of y'all.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to set with anybody.
Yeah.
Anybody that would have went with me, I didn't care what the combination of people was. I just felt confident, and it didn't matter who I sat next to. So that kind of gave me freedom. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't so worried about, oh, we need to get this one out. Oh, we need to get that one out because we can't beat them or this. I wasn't worried about that. I was just trying to get there. You know, that's my thing. It's like, Aaron, Ronnie can attest to this. You don't play, you know, you don't want to play it too fast and like, or Missy, she had her goat from the beginning as far as she was concerned, and she was going to drag her to the end, and look how that panned out. You know, like, they wanted to vote me out because of day 39 in the very beginning, and they ended up going home. Like, you can't play too fast like that. So for me, it was like, dude, you just get me there and bring anybody you want. And that's what I would tell him. I was like, Tommy, if you don't want to vote out Lauren, I'm with you. Let's roll with that three. Hey, Dean, if you want to go with Dan and me, let's roll with that. I was like, Janet, I'll roll with, you know what I'm saying? I was just telling anybody and everybody, yo, I'm with you. I don't care. So it is what it is.
Elaine, you had a really great send off from the show last night, and then it ended up being overshadowed by Dan's removal from the game. Can you just talk a little bit about how you yourself, and not speaking for anybody else or the production, and has been personally affected by how this whole issue has been overshadowing parts of the season?
Yeah, I mean, it has, but at the same time, like, there's certain things that just need to be talked about and discussed, and I feel like, you know, that inappropriate touching and things like that, like, the issue in general, not just talking about our season, like, it's always to have an open forum to discuss things like that, you know, and I'm not going to go into super detail about it because honestly, like, who am I to say anything, you know, especially with the, a lag in mind with my too much alcohol last night, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to say or offend nobody or whatever, but you know, it's good for people to be educated. And I think, you know, things that went down, it's a lesson for everybody involved, and I just hope that we can all move forward, learn and grow from our mistakes, and just be supportive of each other, man, and supportive of Kelly and, you know, Janet, and man, that's all I got, man.
Yeah.
You know, I that's how I feel, bro.
Well, I really appreciate you taking some time to talk with us about everything that's going on, and I hope that the hangover goes away. You made a great impression, and I think you're going to play again, Elaine. That I don't know. That's not like too crazy of a call, but I think we'll see you out there again.
Yeah. Well, I hope so. And listen, if you can just do me one favor, could you just work on that Boston Rob impersonation?
Why, is it not good?
Next time. No, bro, you suck at it. It's like, dude, you don't even put no Boston twang to it. Like, what's the matter? You got the slow roll. You got the slow roll. You got that down. But come on, you need to work on your Boston
accent. Do you have a better one?
A little bit. No, hell no. Don't even get me started so people can make fun of me. I get that enough. You know
what I mean?
I'd rather just point out your faults about the whole thing.
Yeah.
Hey, next time, like, I expect it to be improved the next time I speak to you.
You got
what I mean?
It.
Like,
I'll work on it in the next couple of days, Elaine. All right.
I appreciate it.
All the best to you, and, safe travels out to the finale, okay?
All right, man. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Take care, Elaine. All right, everybody, there you have it. Elaine Stott, I think you get a little bit right there why everybody out there did not want to sit with her at the end of the game. I really do hope we'll have the chance to talk with Elaine more after the end of the season. And, it's a real shame for Elaine because she did have a great send-off. And then to have more of this ugliness with Dan come up again in the season, of the many, many people affected by this, it's that's a shame for Elaine that that had to happen. But I'm going to, as I said, I'm going to answer a couple questions that have come in for the voicemail. I know that this is an issue that a lot of people want to hear more about. So I will do a little bit of an unprecedented thing where I will answer a couple of your questions here at the end of the exit interview, just because this is the podcast that's going to be out first here today from this week. But first, let me just take a moment and thank a sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are friends over at Figs. And what Figs is an amazing company that makes scrubs stylish and functional for the people who deserve it most. When you're shopping this holiday, don't forget about all the amazing nurses, doctors, dentists, and people who work in medicine and healthcare that help you throughout the year. We all know someone who is one of these amazing humans, a friend, a family member, in my case, a wife, even yourself. If you are looking for scrubs, Figs is for all the medical professionals and non-medical professionals in your life, and gifts for those who give the most. Or for years, nurses, doctors, dentists, and other awesome medical professionals were forced to wear scratchy, ill-fitting scrubs. Not only were they ugly and uncomfortable, but they weren't designed with innovative technical properties to protect and hold life-saving tools. Figs is creating high-quality medical apparel so medical professionals look their best, feel their best, and perform at their best every day. Figs scrubs are infused with antimicrobial properties to control odors. They're ridiculously soft, moisture-wicking, and features four-way stretch. Nicole has gotten to try a pair of Figs. All of her coworkers were very jealous. Another physician friend of mine had said, hey, I didn't know that Figs was a sponsor on the show. I love Figs. They are really, once you try on a pair of Figs, you're never going to want to go back to your regular scrubs. Figs makes great gifts for all the awesome humans in your life. Figs gift cards are available as well. So the next time a doctor, nurse, dentist, dermatologist, or pediatrician saves the day, tell them thank you by sending them Figs. Show them how much you care at the end of the year with Figs this holiday season. Figs is going to make that easy by providing you with 15% off your first purchase when you use promo code RHAP. Get ready to love your scrubs. Head to wearfigs.com, that's WEARFIGS, and enter the promo code RHAP at checkout. That's wearfigs.com. Use promo code RHAP to save 15%. All right. So I've got a couple of voicemails that I want to play for you. The first of which is a little bit long, but I think she makes a lot of great points. I'm going to play this voicemail for you from Kelly.
Hey, this is Kelly from Melbourne. I really just felt compelled to leave a voicemail just because this season has been extremely distressing and upsetting, as we all know, and for a few reasons. So first of all, we all know it should not have taken this long for Dan to get removed from the game. But one of the main things that really upset me about this episode was how much of a footnote this issue was. I mean, it was barely 2 minutes just thrown at the end of the episode dedicated to such a huge issue. And then even after the announcement was made that Dan would be leaving the show, we did cut to Janet, but then we cut to a confessional of Tommy talking about how this impacts his game. And no fault of Tommy's, but this is just not the confessional we needed in that moment. And then we cut to this huge epic promotion about watching the finale next week. At this point, do any of us have the stomach to watch the finale? That's just, it just wasn't, again, wasn't presented in a way that we deserve. Once again, no hotline, no trigger warning, no resource for anybody that this may be upsetting for. I just don't know what the show is doing at this point, you know. I get that there are constrictions with just speaking up, but it seems like nobody's speaking up at this point. Big credit to Kelly. It was so great to have her speak out on Twitter. And even the finale just feels so like it's going to be so controlled with the pre-recording. I guess, you know, a lot of us just don't really know where to go from here. But really appreciate you speaking about this, and would love to hear this discussed on the podcast with, you know, whichever guest, because it really does, I think, help a lot of us process what we're seeing. So thank you for all of, for everything you do, Rob, and those were just my main takeaways from watching this.
So great job by Kelly, really encapsulating so much of what people are just really angry about this whole thing. And there's so many questions of why did it take so long to take Dan out of the game? And then once he did come out of the game, why was it just tacked on there at the end? And, you know, why did we see so much of him? And there's so many good questions about why did this all happen? And people just don't understand it. And it's really that I'm sure that if you knew all the information, and I don't, that maybe there is some explanation of how to make sense of all of this. And I just think that there's it's so complicated, but I think that the main issues are that I think that the show feels like, yes, maybe they didn't do a great, for certain, I don't think that they did a great job with handling the initial complaint from Kelly, but I don't know what sort of legal liability that opens them up to come out and say that they mishandled this situation. So I think that the legalities of this, I think, is what is really complicating the response. And again, I am not a lawyer, and this is just my supposition of what I think is going on here. So if they come out and say, okay, we really did a bad job of handling this, then I think that potentially, I think this opens a whole can of worms on the one end. And then I also think that from Dan's side of things, that I'm not sure what sort of way that he's feeling in terms of how he potentially was mischaracterized by the show and the show coming out and saying these things. Now, especially this second incident that we're talking about, or really, I guess, the, you know, third or fourth, however you want to characterize it, that he may feel like, hey, I have been wronged here because of how this was portrayed, and my, you know, my good name is being sullied by the show. And if he's refuting these things that we've seen on the show and saying that he's somehow been mischaracterized, then on the other side of things, that I think that that is also a potential legal situation that he is potentially going to look into. So without trying to make an excuse for anything that's happened on the show, I think that is, if I'm trying to assign logic to, wait, why did this happen the way that it did, where nobody is happy about this? Everybody, no matter how you feel, is angry about this today. That's the only thing that I can think of, is just that there are so many parties involved, and that I just think that there's so little that can be said about this, and that I think that there will be more and more news that comes to light about this, but I just think that there's just no good explanation about any of this. And I do believe that the people who work on the show want to take care of their players. And I think that they were unprepared for a situation like this to unfold on the show. And I certainly think that Dan should have been pulled at the merge when these instances came up that were already documented from the first part of the season, but there just was no system in place at that time to be able to do it. And then I guess once it came up at that point, then there was no, I guess, or if they gave him a warning at that point, then the warning came too late. And then, you know, the terrible tragedy is that another person had to go through an experience for him to ultimately be pulled from the game. And it's just the ugliest chapter that we've ever had in Survivor. And so many people are just still, you know, very upset and trying to process all of this. And I hope that with time that we will all be able to make a little bit more sense out of what happened. But I'm not going to hold out too much hope that we're ever going to be able to make sense out of all this. Let me bring in another question from a voicemailer. This is a question from Melissa.
Hey, Rob. Huge fan of the show. I just had one question that I haven't heard brought up. Do you think the incidents this season could be the end of Survivor? Jeff hasn't responded, CBS hasn't responded, and production hasn't really responded to the incidents we have seen. I'm worried that this could be the end of the show that we all love. Love to hear your thoughts.
Melissa, this is a great question, too, and I got this from a number of people. Hey, is this going to be the end of Survivor? And to be honest, I really don't know. Now, look, Survivor has big things planned for season 40 of the show, and I believe that we're going to hear more news officially on that in the next couple of days. If I had to guess, typically we get a preview for the upcoming season at the end of season 39, and so we will finally get that officially unveiled, what Survivor is planning for season 40. But I do feel like that the show has been beleaguered by this issue and its handling of this issue a great deal in this season. And while the show has done, you know, very well in the ratings, still, you know, a very high rated show. That it came out earlier this season that this is the most highest rated show on CBS, which is wild to think of Survivor heading into its 20th year in that way. I think that the answer to this question really depends on just how draining handling a situation like this is on the network, on the people that produce the show, on Jeff himself, where if ultimately anybody's like, you know what, this was a good run, we need to just, you know, that's it. Let's hang it up. Let's you know, go on a hiatus for a little bit of time. Then that's potentially something that could be. I mean, I don't think it is a likely scenario that I do anticipate Survivor going on to Survivor 41 and 42, but I have not seen any official renewal on all of this. And I think that a lot of it is going to depend on how season 40 ends up doing, and the goodwill of the fans and the audience going into season 40 and ultimately coming out of season 40, how people are feeling about that. So, all right. Wanted to answer a couple of these questions for you today here on the back of the exit interview. I want to try to be there as much as I can for the audience. And I don't feel like I have the answers to most of the questions that are being asked today, but all I can do is be there for you to talk about these things as they come up and attempt to try to process this very unsettling information, which has come to light again about the show. So be on the lookout for my interview with Christian Hubicki coming later this weekend. And then this weekend back on Long Island, I'm going to catch up with Dominic Abate and talk with him as well this weekend in person. So looking forward to that. Thank you again for listening to all of this. Really appreciate the support. And thank you again. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.